Welcome to The Locomotion, where we're dedicated to bringing you the stories and music from the very talented local musicians and recording artists and those with local connections that make Spokane a world-class music town. Locomotion is brought to you in part by Spokane 7. Join host and recording artist Sammy Eubanks as we meet the region's biggest stars and stars-to-be.
Hello, and welcome to Locomotion. I'm your host, Sammy Eubanks. We talk about local music in and around Spokane regionally and have some national guests once in a while. My guest today is Billy Z from Billy Z Amplifiers. Billy, how are you?
I'm fine, Sammy. Thank you.
Good to have you here. Thanks for being here. Pronounce your last name for me.
The Z or the what it's
the
mean.
Z I can pronounce.
The what? Zumwalt.
Zumwalt?
Zumwalt, or Zumwalt. As I like to say, Zum Schwarzwalt.
Do that too.
From the Black Forest.
I like Z.
Yeah.
Billy Z.
Yeah.
And you make amplifiers, boutique, hand-wired, Fender-style amplifiers, correct?
Yeah, well,
tube amps?
I do one that's Fender-style. I do some others you haven't seen that are a little more high-gain, not super high gain.
Marshall-y kind of things?
Yeah, maybe. They have one more gain stage than a typical Fender has.
Right. Right. Now, you how long have you lived here in Spokane?
I think I'm not good with time, but I'm going to guess 2.5 years.
2.5 years. And you came from Austin, Texas?
Well, yes. Austin, Texas. And my home was in Round Rock, Texas.
Round Rock, Texas.
Yeah.
Are you a Texas native?
I was born in El Paso in 1954.
Born in El Paso. Same year as the Stratocaster was born.
A very good year.
That's awesome. That's great. So you, let's go back to your early memories of music. What was the first kind of... Was there music around the house when you were growing up?
My mother was extremely musical. She loved it. She was always singing, always playing records. And I remember her and my grandmother... we didn't have a lot of money, but I remember my mom, she wanted to buy a keyboard organ back then, and ended up all she could afford was one of those little El Cheapo, probably, you know, 1.5-2 foot long little plastic chord organs.
Right.
It was horrible, but that's all she could afford, and she bought one. And then I remember her taking up the guitar.
Yeah,
and she was big into country western music, and that's a lot of what I listened to early on was country western.
Like,
George Jones, Hank Williams, I can't remember.
Late 50s, early 60s stuff. Right.
Hank Snow, a lot of Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember her. She loved George Jones and Buck Owens. She loved Buck Owens.
Right.
But one of our favorites was her favorite, and then became mine was Johnny Horton.
Johnny Horton.
Johnny Horton.
Yes.
Yes. Of course, my favorite is... Well, he had two that were my favorites. North to Alaska, which was big. But actually, my favorite, my mom's favorite, was Squazzle on the Yukon, or Good Enough for Me.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that. I'll have to search that out.
Yeah.
So, your mom's playing guitar. When did you start playing guitar? And was that the reason you started playing guitar?
Well, no, I don't know, maybe, you know. Actually, I found a picture of myself, I was probably 5 years old, a little black and white. I don't remember it being taken, but I think it was 1959, and I found a black and white picture of myself playing a little Roy Rogers guitar.
Really?
Yes, and I wish I still had that guitar. It had the painting on the top, you know, probably
steel,
made out of...
Acoustic guitar, steel
string? Yes, an acoustic guitar, and it had the little... I'm pretty sure I remember it being red, even though the photo was black and white. But it had, I believe, it had a red and white corded, just a cord strap,
right.
You know. So I don't remember that, but I saw a picture of myself doing that in 1959. But my first actual recollection of playing music was, I think it was the third or fourth grade at Newman Elementary School out there in El Paso, Texas, joining the school band program.
Right.
And I really wanted to play the saxophone. And my mom, we went to band night, and they had all the instruments laid out, and I was going to get a saxophone. I was all excited, and We looked at all the saxophones, and of course they had a whole program there, rental, buy to own, and
right.
My mom finally just said, "Look, you know, we can't afford a saxophone."
Right.
You know, so then we went and looked at some other instruments. Well, we couldn't afford any of those either, you know. And I just wanted to play anything at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So my folks were playing cards one night with some friends, and I don't know, they were talking, drinking, probably talking, playing right. cards, not poker, probably bridge. And anyway, my dad goes, "Hey, come here," you know, and the man, I don't remember who it was, they take me over, he rummages around in this closet, and he pulls out this old case, and it was an old trumpet. And him and my dad were talking, and showed it to me, and my dad said, would you want to play this? And at that point, I was like, yeah, anything, you know.
Right, you just wanted to play something musical.
Yeah, yeah. So my dad got the trumpet for me. I don't know what he paid for it, $50. I think it was a good trumpet, actually, because I don't know what brand it was, but I do remember looking at it. I go, wow. Because everybody else in school at that time was playing cornet.
Right.
And I was the only one with the trumpet, so I was the odd man out.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember looking at my trumpet going, what's wrong with this? Why is mine different? I looked at it very carefully, and I used to learn how to oil it and all that. It said made in Paris, France.
Right.
So I think it might have been a good one.
Right.
Anyway, that's what I started on. I played trumpet up, and I was first chair for a long time up until my freshman year of high school when my band teacher, I guess, had it with me. And he threw his baton at me and stuck it right through my sheet music.
Wow.
And, you know, after that, I was out of band. I think he let me out and I probably quit. And then I started playing rock and roll.
Right.
My folks got me a bass guitar for my birthday. I don't remember asking for one, but they bought me an electric bass. It was an old Harmony acoustic bass with a Supro Thunderbolt bass amp, which wasn't a very good bass amp, but it was a, you know, so I started playing bass.
What year was this?
That would have been 60, probably 67, 68.
Okay, so what kind of music? You said rock and roll, but what artists?
I didn't know a thing about it, but you know what I found out is when you play bass guitar, people will find you because there aren't enough bass players,
right?
Good or bad.
Right.
And so some local guys around the block found me. They go, "Hey, you have a bass? Well, come on and join our band." I go, "Well, I don't." And they showed me how to tune, which I didn't even know how to tune or anything. And
right.
I think one of the first songs I learned was Tobacco Road.
Oh, wow.
And then I remember playing You're Pushing Too Hard. That was a favorite of mine.
Right.
And then I think we learned Gloria. And I think the big moment was when we a guy came over who was a lot older than us. He was probably 18 or 19. And he had a Fender Stratocaster and a twin reverb. And he showed us how to play Hey Joe. And the one that really got me was he actually showed us some Jimi Hendrix songs. He showed us Purple Haze.
Right.
And I was just awestruck.
By the guitar or by the music?
By both. Everything. You know?
Right.
And then we got a guy who joined our band who was actually, he was a lot older than us and he was probably desperate. And but he had played with some people down in Las Vegas and he knew songs. And he started showing us things like chord progressions.
Right.
And scales.
Structure. And,
yeah, yeah. Right. And I was just soaking this all in. And I'm like 13 years old, you know. It's just
that's what got you started.
Yeah.
So when did you start playing guitar? Right.
I started playing guitar. I actually got kicked out of school and I was been playing bass and I found that I got kicked out of high school and I found I was probably maybe 15, 16. I can't remember what year I got kicked out.
Right.
And I found out I didn't like practicing the bass by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I started picking up my mom's old acoustic guitar. It was an Airline acoustic.
Okay.
And, hard to play. But I was bound and determined to play guitar at that point because I hated playing bass by myself. I loved playing bass. I just didn't like practicing it by myself.
Sure.
So I was probably 14 or 15 when I started, picked up my mom's acoustic guitar and bloodied my fingers until I learned some chords.
Right.
And could play and strum.
So you're self-taught, basically?
Pretty much, yeah. Back then, you know, no internet.
Right.
Tablature hadn't even been invented.
Mm-hmm.
But I just was eating it up, and so I started buying music books. And anytime I could find somebody to show me anything or teach me anything, that's what I started doing. But back to playing bass, when I was 14, I'd saved up all my paper route money, and I had bought myself a... I traded in that Harmony bass with some money for a Fender Precision bass, and then I must have got a bunch of paper route money, and I bought a Blackface Fender Bassman amp, and was playing that, and I was like, you know, uptown daddy then, you know? And some GIs had heard that, you know, I had a bass. Well, they wanted to rent my bass and my equipment for one of their guys.
Right.
And I said, no way, I saved up all my paper route money. This is my hard-earned money. This is my bass, I'm playing it, you know. So finally, they begged me to rent it. They offered me all kinds of money. I said, no way, it's mine, I'm playing it, you know. And so then they asked me to come over and try out for their band. And these guys were all ex-Motown guys. These guys were 30, 35
really?
Years old, yeah. I was like, well, there was another white guy in the band, but I was the only white guy.
Uh-huh.
Except for, I think, the guitar player, who my folks later signed over a legal guardianship to him so that I could play with these guys in bars and clubs and nightclubs.
Really?
Yeah, so these guys taught me how to play bass and how to be a musician. I mean, they were professionals. They had all played with... they had joined the military to get out of going to Vietnam.
Right.
And but they had all come from Detroit, Chicago.
Wait, they joined the military to get out of going to Vietnam?
Well, if they joined, then they were able to pick their...
Destination. Oh, okay.
And pick their... They had a little more control. Because if they got drafted, they were going to Vietnam as ground pounders, they called them.
Right.
You know, they were going to be on the front line. So if they joined, they got to choose more of what they were doing. And these guys got stationed stateside.
Right.
Because they had chosen... stuff. I don't know. That's
sure.
That was my understanding.
And they were stationed near you.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So now you're playing in nightclubs. How about early concerts? What are the early big shows that you saw?
Big shows?
Or just people that you admired that you went to see?
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think back. Well, I should back up. By that time, my dad had been transferred. This is why I was close to the military. So he got transferred to Alaska. So we went up to Alaska.
Oh, my.
And so I didn't see a lot of people.
No.
But
and what did your dad do?
He was an electronics technician, radar missile guidance electronics technician.
Okay.
And so we got transferred to Alaska. So I didn't see a lot of groups, except the military would bring up groups. And one of the first shows that really made a huge impression on me, I went to a USO show. And there was a guy, it was called the Dave Bunker Show.
Yeah.
And this guy had, I was just, he had all girl band except for Dave Bunker. And that was cool. I mean, that was shocking. But
I'll bet it was.
He built all the instruments for his band to play, for the girls.
Guitars and stuff?
Guitars. And he had this bass that it was a double neck, that he played on one neck, he played like an organ, kind of tapped these chords out, and then
right.
The other one, he would just kind of tap the bass line. It was incredible.
Dave Bunker. Going to have to
Look him up. I think he was from the Pacific Northwest.
Really?
Yeah. And I remember the girls' guitars had gooseneck microphones coming out of the horn of the guitar. So I thought it was the coolest idea.
Oh, wherever, so they could sing.
Yeah, wherever they went, their microphone was there, you know?
Wow.
I mean,
interesting.
Anyway, that made an impression on me. But
how long were you in Alaska?
Oh, geez. Till 72.
Wow. And then back to Texas.
No, in 72, I moved to Santa Cruz, California.
Nice.
Yeah, I loved it there.
One extreme to the other?
Yeah.
To the other?
Yeah. Anyway.
That's awesome. So how long were you in Santa Cruz?
4 or 5 years.
Did you play music down there as well?
Yes, I played music down there as well. Actually, at that time, a little divergence in my life. I had got religion, and mm-hmm. I went to a Bible school, and immediately got into their music program and actually studied music, was my major.
Mm.
And I traveled with the school, with the college bands all over, mostly all over Northern California,
right.
Oregon, I don't know if we went to Nevada. We went all over, but the school used to send us out. And I played with some of the big, big orchestras, and that's where I started getting into more big band jazz stuff. But they also
right.
sent me out with some little smaller combo groups
mm-hmm.
where there was only maybe like me, a piano player, and a drummer.
Right.
And then we'd have like 4 or 5 singers. They were big on vocals.
Wow.
So.
Well, let's take a little break here.
Sure.
And we'll pick this up on the other side. and I want to get into your amplifiers and your guitar work and stuff like that, and your website, and we'll get the information out there for that.
Okay.
You're listening to Local Motion on SpokaneTalksOnline.com.
In touch, online all the time. SpokaneTalksOnline.com.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Local Motion on SpokaneTalksOnline.com. I'm Sammy Eubanks. I'm here with Billy Z from Billy Z Amplifiers. Pardon me. So now you're living in California, playing big band and jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Getting into, and you're obviously studying more, learning more about
music.
Oh,
yeah, all the theory. I mean, I was a heavy music major, you know.
Right.
Learning piano, arranging, harmony, all that stuff, you know.
And now I've also, I've seen you and heard you play harmonica. When did that come about?
Always. I just always.
Really?
Yeah, I probably found a harmonica. I remember I picked that up in high school. And I used to kind of hum around on it, walking back and forth to school. We used to walk to school back then.
Right.
And so I started. I'm not very good. I haven't really stuck with it, but I love it.
Yeah.
And I know some good harmonica players like Greg Izor down in Austin. He is awesome.
Right.
By the way, big plug for Greg. He's got a GoFundMe site coming out where he's getting some funds together to do his a new recording, his third recording. Highly encourage it. Greg Izor, I-Z-O-R. Awesome
right.
Vocalist, harmonica player, front man. I mean, just an all-around nice guy.
From Austin, Texas.
And he loves barbecue.
Don't we all?
Yes.
Look at me. Yeah. So now let's go into building amplifiers. How did that come about? Because that doesn't seem like something that anybody would just go, you know, I think I could do that.
Well, no, I didn't start that way. But my father, I told you, was a military electronics radar technician. And that all started out with, back in those days, vacuum tubes and stuff. But anyway, I remember I bought, you know, rock and roll is hard on your equipment. And back then, we all had tube amps.
Sure.
And I told you about that tube basement. It was Blackface Basement. Well, I'd also later acquired a Blackface Dual Showman. And, of course, I wasn't buying anything new back then, but it started giving me trouble. It would go right in the middle of something.
Sure.
It would make bad noises. Like, what? Well, my dad, so I started poking around in there. My dad started helping me.
Because he knew what he was looking at? Or?
Oh, yeah. No, he knew. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. But he was just, but he more or less just helped me. He didn't do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'd go get him. Hey, Dad, you know, what? And he goes, well, that's a resistor, and that's a capacitor, and that's a, and that one there, you know, if you touch that one, you can get shocked because it's still storing. And he started explaining all that. Well, that's a transformer. Well, here's your tubes. Well, no, these kind of tubes, you know, you want to operate them this way. You know, he started explaining slowly, little by little, to
sure.
me, you know, how to solder. He had had me. He built a couple CB radios and stuff, and he used to build radio-controlled electronic airplanes.
Really?
Yeah, but this was back in the 50s. You
okay.
know? So they were like a toggle switch that you could toggle the rudder back and forth and stuff. But anyway, no, he knew electronics real well, so he helped me,
mm-hmm.
and that got me started. And then my mom was a librarian, so. You know, this is pre-internet time, you know. So I started checking books out from the library on electronics.
Right.
Primarily tube electronics, because I figure I don't need to learn solid state, you know. And so I started reading everything. And nobody knew anything about tube electronics, because it was all going solid state.
Right.
So I just started reading everything I could. And then fixing everything of my own that I had that broke, you know.
Right.
So sometimes, I remember one time I had bought a little Fender Tweed Deluxe for for $25 in a pawn shop. Mm-hmm. Played that for a while, and then all of a sudden, I didn't know then at the time what it was, but this is how I learned. The rectifier tube went out.
Right.
Shorted or something. Well, I didn't have a rectifier tube. So what was I going to do? You know, so I did a little research, was reading around and talked to some guys and figured out that I could probably substitute some solid state diodes in there, you know.
Right.
Figured out how to do that. It worked. I still have that in.
Really?
I've taken the diodes out and got the tube rectifier back in it now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, little things like that. So then I started modifying. And that dual Shulman, I decided, you know, this is back when the rock was getting heavier.
Right.
And I wanted to get that heavier sound, but that dual Shulman was so freaking loud, you know. So I came up with this idea. I thought, well, wonder if I was to take the normal channel and run that into the vibrato channel and cascade those channels together, and, you know, and I figured out how to do that, and I figured out, and along the way of doing that, I found out, okay, I need to pad this signal down, I need to use some blocking capacitors and different things. So it's just little by little, and then just restoring
it. Fine-tuning it.
Fine-tuning it, listening to it, you know, hearing, well, I don't like the way that sounds, you know, I'll try this, I'll try that. And of course, and reading, it wasn't just all just out of thin air.
Sure. And then you got to where you got it to where you liked the sound of it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd get things to where I'd like them, and then that's how I got really good at tuning stuff, you know. Because mm-hmm. To me, you know, a lot of electronics guys are, they're more schooled than I am, probably, and so they're more technical. Everything's by the book, you know. It's
right.
A lot of mathematics, reading a scope, a multimeter, and those things, and figuring out the math and the calculations.
Right.
And
the values of this and that.
Ohm's law, you know, you have to know all that, and I know that, you know, but... But guys that were just real technicians, I was always a musician first.
Right.
And I always knew what sound I wanted.
And it's more of a feel application than a technical application, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I know enough technology to be dangerous, but for me it's always been more of a artistic musical expression. I always considered the amplifier a musical instrument, not just a technical device to increase your volume.
Right.
So that's how I always approach it. You know, mm-hmm. I always listen to everything. And if I don't like the way it sounds, and there's lots of different sounds. So.
And there's lots of different ways to change the sound. I mean, you can, capacitors, different resistors.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't have to change everything all at once.
No.
But each change gets a subtle little difference in the sound.
Yes, and there's different approaches. And I like to use a combination of things. I think a lot of guys are real ham-fisted with it. You know, like, well, let's just bang the level up right here.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I find it works a lot better if you tweak it a little here, tweak a little there, just a little here. And if you spread it out in a certain fashion, it seems to be more musical sounding.
Right, right. Okay, so amplifiers. I remember the first time I brought you my Tremolux. When you took the back plate off it, you opened it up and you started looking around and you said you could do those in your sleep. the Fender Tremolux, the Deluxe, those circuits.
Pretty much.
Are those pretty basic?
Well, they're basic.
Or you just know them after doing them all these years?
I've worked on thousands of them. I have worked on thousands, you know, and so... I've just done so many of them.
Sure.
That, you know, those circuits are burnt into my...
Right, so to speak.
Brain.
And you know, like when somebody says they want to get a certain sound, they want to go a certain direction, you know how to, you know, probably know what electronic parts to put in there to make that happen.
Yeah, there. Yes, absolutely.
It's like blueprinting an engine.
Yeah.
Performance.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
A certain application, right?
Yeah. But, you know, and a lot of times I'll tune, if I have an opportunity, I'll actually tune it while the artist or musician is there playing it so I can actually hear how they play, how they attack, what kind of guitar they use, what kind of effects they use. The whole nine yards, it all factors in. And then some people say they want one sound, but actually they mean something else. So sometimes I have to learn to decipher the code that they're giving me.
Sure.
But in general, I'm pretty good. If somebody says they play country or they play jazz, or blues is the one I really don't understand. I mean, people say, I want a blues sound. I don't know what that sound is. I mean, I know what it is to me.
I don't think anybody does. Whatever moves you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's that way with jazz, too. It has to be
mm-hmm.
with and country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you give a guy a raunchy, dirty Marshall amp and try to have him play country music through it, you know, it's probably not going to work too well.
For some guys, it might.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain guys that can pick up anything and play it well. But
right.
What's your website? You have a website for your amplifiers, right?
www.billyz.net.
BillyZ.net.
.net, because the .com was already taken, so I went down one step to .net.
To .net, BillyZ.net. And you have one of your amps, I know, is at Mark's Guitar Shop up on Garland for people to stop by and try out, and they can contact you directly through the website.
They can contact me directly. They can call me directly at my area code's 512, which is Austin. And a lot of people here have trouble with
that. So what's that number, 512?
512-590-9234.
Billy Z.
I only have a cell phone.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are going that way. You also do guitar setups and repairs and things like that, all the electronics.
It all started at the same time. I started fixing guitars and amps at the same time.
Out of necessity.
I did them all for myself, and then people started, you know, I'd be playing with somebody and their guitar would be falling apart, and I'd loan them, I had an extra one.
Right.
I've always had way too many guitars and amps. So I'd loan them one, and they're like, wow, can you make mine play like this? You know, can you do this? And I started doing it for other people. And finally, at some point, I'd been doing so much of it, I said, you know what, I got to start charging you guys.
Right.
Because I'm buying tools.
And parts and pieces.
It's like, I guess. And then I was surprised. They didn't mind paying me at all. They just wanted it done really good.
Right. Wanted it done right. I know the feeling. So you have, like I said, the amp at Mark's Guitar Shop on display, and people can sample that there. How many different amplifier combinations do you build?
Well, the set ones that I have, probably only four or five.
Mm-hmm.
But I
are
also,
they all combos?
No. Some are heads, and I have a 212 speaker cabinet that's internally braced, kind of like a guitar, like a violin would be. You know, it has struts and bracing internally, so that it's very lightweight but very stiff.
Do you build those cabinets?
I have John Mergilli build those for me.
Mergilli.
Mergilli.
And he's also from Texas, correct?
Yes. Yep.
And he moved up here after you did.
Yes. I told him how great Spokane was. He needs to come and see it.
And he did.
And he wanted to get out of Austin because Austin's great, but has gotten so busy, so fast, so intense that, you know, and I'm going to be 62, Sammy, and I'm kind of wanting to slow down.
There you go.
But we moved up here because my wife was born here, and she was having to come up here quite frequently to take care of her parents, and it was just getting very stressful. And we had the opportunity to move up here, and I said, "Yeah, let's move on up there," you know.
Right, and you're busy all the time.
Pretty much
doing amps and guitars
I'm actually trying to play guitar a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm actually trying to play guitar a little bit.
Yeah, well, I've seen you at the jam, at Daly's Cheap Shots on Sunday nights with
Gary
Yeoman.
That's the only place I've ever gone.
The Voodoo Church Jam.
Yeah.
That's the only place you played around town.
Yes.
Oh, we got to get you out and play some more.
Well, I don't know anybody here, but you have been. But I met you, and that's all.
Right.
No, well, Gary Yeoman has been fantastic to me.
Yes.
Ryan Dunn has been fantastic to me. Mark Stevens, awesome drummer, has been fantastic to me. I've met a lot of really great people there. I met Bob McClure there. Him and I have kind of been hooked up. He's kind of like me, and we're kind of a little older, and we're a little slower than the rest of you guys.
Right.
So we've been playing together, having fun, you know. So
we're a friendly people.
You are.
Here.
You are.
As the guy said on Fargo the other night.
Yeah.
So.
Time's up.
Time's up. But we're going to keep going anyway for a little bit. We can edit that out, Kent. So what's the a ballpark cost for a custom Billy Z amp?
Okay, ballpark probably $2,400.
Okay.
But, you know, they're custom built chassis, which actually the last run of chassis I just had done here in town. So I have all the artwork, the vector files, I believe they're called. And I've learned how to manipulate them a little bit myself so I can redo them for stuff. But I have them cut here in town. They're laser cut or water jet cut, welded. And the transformers I'll have custom made for me by Mercury Magnetics. Although I have used transformers from Haybor and Pacific.
Right.
So it's just whatever particular amp that I'm doing. But I like Mercury because they have a huge variety of transformers and they're very good sounding transformers. I've compared them with other transformers, and transformers really do make a big difference.
That's the heart, pretty much, isn't it?
Yeah, well,
it's... Or one of the vital organs,
I guess. Oh, absolutely. You can call it the heart, whatever, but they're extremely important.
Right.
But, you know, you got to know why, you know, like there's voltages, you know, I have my favorite voltages that I like to run for different things, you know.
For different applications, right.
A real interesting one that I just did here recently, kind of a one-up for a guy, a harp player in Dallas, and he brought the idea up. So we used 3 6x9 speakers. They were old Alnicos out of an organ, and then it was a big single-ended amp. And it was one of the first really big single-ended amps. It was 10 watts and ran a single 6L6. And, you know, my initial thinking...
For three speakers?
For three speakers, yeah. Oh, see, so then I had to select an output transformer to get the proper impedance load to the amplifier. And single-ended is different than, say, cathode. Well, it was cathode bias, but it's different than a push-pull amp or, you know, more amps that you think of. But single-ended amps, to really make it run right, you're pulling a lot of current through not only your power transformer, but your output transformer. And so you need different type of transformers.
Sure.
And Mercury was very good about that. You know,
right.
I spec'd out the impedances that I wanted on the output, how much current I was going to be pulling through there, and then allowing for a margin of safety factor. And then I found out I had to put a choke in it just to get it to sound right and to be quiet. And in fact, a friend of mine says, "Man, that choke's huge." I go, "Well, you know, this is a big single-ended amp,
right,
and everything's going through that choke. So yeah, that choke has to handle this much
current."
It's got to
work, yeah.
So, but
that's
the amp
great.
Sounded great.
Yeah.
It sounded awesome.
You played it here before you shipped it to Dallas?
Yes, I did.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, thank you for your time today. I really appreciate you sitting down with me and talking about your stuff. And anybody that has any need for an amplifier, you do solid state repairs as well?
No, I don't.
You don't do any solid state?
I used to, and I just don't want to work on it, and for a lot of reasons.
Right.
You know, every once in a while, somebody talks me into it, but I always end up hating myself.
Anyway.
And Billy's... them. No, I don't want to hate them.
Is it BillyZAmplifiers.net?
BillyZ.net.
BillyZ.net. Check him out on the interweb. You can also call them. Your phone number's on your website, I'm sure.
It's on my website.
Yes. If you have a need for an amplifier or a repair, tube amplifier repair, Billy Z is the guy. My name is Sammy Eubanks. You've been listening to Local Motion on SpokaneTalksOnline.com.
Thanks for listening to Local Motion on SpokaneTalksOnline.com, the only station dedicated to playing music from the world-class community of musical talent in and around Spokane and the Inland Northwest. Local Motion is brought to you in part by Spokane 7. Ask a question of Sammy, recommend a guest, and hear this program again online anytime at SpokaneTalksOnline.com.